morning, everyone. Yeah, sure. Thank you, Russell and Eddie, again. We used to work together at ESSA some years ago, so it's so great to see them here. We thank God. This morning, I want to share with you a message I've called Entrusting the God, the Good News. And if you have your Bible, I want to read a long passage so that you get the understanding of what is happening as I'm going to take inference from there. In 2 Kings, I will read from chapter 6, verse 24 to chapter 7 and verse 20. Let me read from the ESV. Afterward, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, mustered his entire army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and as they besieged it, until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. That is, in our rand terms of today, 750 rands or $50, the head of a donkey, because of their situation. And the fourth quap of a cup of dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. That means at that time, they will allow the doves to fly because you can't go out. They will go and eat, and then the food gets into their system, and they massage it nicely, and they drop it out, and they dry it, and you buy 3 mils, a Coke. When you have a Coke, 300 mil Coke, you buy it for $3 or 45 rands. That was the situation. Now, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help me, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord will not help you, how shall I help you? From the threshing floor or from the winepress?" And the king asked her, "What is your trouble?" She answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son and we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled his son and we ate him. And the next day I said to her, 'Give your son that we may eat him,' but he has hidden her son." When the king heard these words of the woman, he tore his clothes. Now he was passing on the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth beneath his body. And he said, "May God do so to me, and more also, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remain on his shoulders today." Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. Now the king had dispatched a man from his presence, but before the messenger arrived, Elisha said to the elders, "Do you see how this murderer has sent to take off my head? Look, when the messengers come, shut the door and hold the door fast against him. Is that not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" And while he was still speaking with them, the messenger came to him, and he said, "This trouble is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" And in chapter 7, verse 1 says, "But Elisha said, 'Hear the word of the Lord. That says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of flour will be sold for a shekel.'" That is, now flour, 7.7 liters, will be sold for 9 rand. A donkey's head of 750. Tomorrow, we are going to buy flour, 7.7 liters, for only 9 rand. That's what he said. "And a share of barley for a shekel," that is 15.5 liters of barley, "will be sold for 9 rand at the gate of Samaria." Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, "If the Lord himself would make windows in heaven, could this be a thing?" And he said, "You shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it." Verse 3. "And there were 4 men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, 'Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, there's famine in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here, we will die also. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. If they kill us, then we die. So they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and horses, the sound of a great army. So they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the king of Egypt to come against us. So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when these lepers came into the edge of the camp, they went into their tent and ate and drank. And they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent, carried off things from it, and went and hid them. Verse 9, key verse. And they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, let us go and tell the king's household. So they came and called the gatekeepers of the city and told them, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no one to be seen or heard there. Nothing but horses tied and donkeys tied and tents as they were. The gatekeepers called out, and it was told within the king's household. And the king rose in the night and said to his servants, I will tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the open country, thinking, when they come out of the city, we shall take them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants said, let some men take 5 of the remaining horses, because they had eaten all the horses, seeing that those who are left will fare like the whole multitude of Israel, as we already perished. Let's send and see. So they took horsemen, and the king sent them after the army of the Syrians, saying, go and see. So they went after them as far as the Jordan, and behold, all the way was littered with garments and equipments and the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 seah of barley a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed the captain on whose hand he leaned in charge of the gate. And the people trampled him in the gate. And he died, as the man of God has said. And when the king came down to him, for when the man of God has said to the king, 2 seah of barley shall be sold for a shekel and a seah of fine flour for a sickle about this time tomorrow in the gate of Samaria. The captain had answered the man of God, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he said, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. And so it happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gate and he died. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, minister to us. Lord, come in your power and help us open our minds to see what you have in store for us and what you want us to do. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, as an outline, as I look at this message of entrusting the good news, I would want to introduce by looking at why the world needs the good news today. And my first point is that we need to get some lessons from these 4 lepers, the 4 men. We need to get lessons from them. And then we need to look at what to do with this good news. And my third point is entrusting the good news. And I'll conclude by saying that we need to be faithful to the good news. So, you know, the world needs the good news, whether we like it or not. Last week on Friday when I was preaching, my topic was, what good came out of that terrible, terrible Friday when Jesus was unkindly murdered? And we saw that in his word on the cross when he said it is finished. It was finished in that all our debts were paid, fully paid. And so legally we don't owe anybody anything, but that God has delivered unto us salvation. And that's good news, good news. And I concluded by saying that this good news must not sit. We don't sit on it, but we must go and preach it. We must go and tell other people. You know, there's a guy who was in a Bible school, and he learned about evangelism. And so he was going home saying, I'm going to, Lord, I want you to help me. And as I'm going, help me to be able to preach the word and all that. And so as he was sitting in the train going home, there's an old lady who came and was holding the bar because the train was full. And he started praying, Lord, can you please give this old lady a place to sit? And this young man in his cap was sitting down in the train. And he said, Lord, you haven't answered my prayer. The Lord said, I answered it long time ago, but you are sitting on it. You are sitting on the answer. Get up and your prayer will be answered. Sometimes as a people of God, we need to get up and we will see what God will do. So the good news is with us. Not to sit on it here, but to move with it. Ben-Hadad, the enemy, has caught trouble. He has besieged. Nobody could go anywhere. Like what COVID did to us. COVID besieged us. We couldn't go anywhere. And there was chaos in countries. The economies have been down. Some people, we are just coming out. We are just coming out. And I was listening to the news last week when the KZN premier was saying, we are just trying to come out of what happened in COVID and what happened in the looting last year. And all of a sudden, we now have this flood. So there's so much happening. In the midst of this, we need the good news. Unfortunately, the church has become like news readers. We only spread the bad news. I'm yet to see a radio station that says, we're telling you the good news. This is what happened, this is what happened, and people will clap for them. No, sensational news. We need to take the good news about what God is doing. And in this situation that Ben-Hadad created, people were killing. They became cannibals. Can you imagine? A woman agreeing with another woman, let's eat my son today and tomorrow we will eat your son. You think this woman will sit there, eat after eating your child and say, this is my child, eat. He takes the child away. People have turned into cannibalism. That's what is happening in our nation today. We don't see things. People are killing people. People are stealing money that is supposed to be for poor people and help them. People are stealing them. Economic hardships we go through. It's the same as the city of Samaria. We need good news. We need to take this good news out. People of God, and I ask God to forgive me because my love for evangelism and has gone cold. People are doing bad things because we don't tell them the good news. We think they will not listen to you. Who told you that? God has created man yearning for his word. If we give them the good news, they will accept it. But we go and talk about our church. We go and talk about the things we do. And all, that's not the good news. The good news is Jesus has died. He's risen for you. He says, I'm going to prepare a place and I will come back and take you. If you give people the good news, they will change. But if you don't give them the good news, but bombard them with what is in our head, they will not listen to us. Because most of the time, the things we say we will do, we don't do them. And so they think we are failure. People of God, the world needs the good news. Jesus said he will come again. And he said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached, will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. If you want Jesus to come, we need to spread the gospel. The good news. The good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom touches what hurts people. As a church, that's our duty. Issues of HIV. Issues of the flood. Are we praying for people? Have we organized something to give to people in this situation? Are we using what God has given us to touch people? If you touch people, their hearts will change. Some people who hate you. That's what the Bible says. When people hate you, don't put hot water on. Just do good to them. And as you do good, it will be like you are putting hot coals on their heads. It's about time we look at the heads of people, touch them through that head, and tell them about Jesus. They will believe in you. That's the gospel of the kingdom. And so, people of God, as I share with you, I want you to know that there are certain lessons we can learn from these lepers, the four of them. Last week when Craig was preaching, he said something that faith faces the fact. If you have faith, you look at what is happening. And today, we as Christians, when the going gets tough, you say, as the will of God. No, sometimes we need to face the fact. The fact is we are drowning. And there's no one who can help us, but only God. And so I will add that faith, genuine faith, faces the facts as they are, but trust God for solutions. You see the facts, like Abraham. I'm old. My wife is even worse. He can't even keep the baby there. But we trust you, God. And God is able. And that's what we are looking at. So these people face the facts. He says, why do we stay here and die? Why do we stay here and die? Let me tell you guys, if we go into the city, we are not welcome anyway. Before they besiege, they will not allow us to go there. We can't go there now that there's no food. There's no use. It's useless. Sometimes we waste our energy on things that are not important because we haven't analyzed. So going into the city is out. There are certain things you must be out of your life. Don't worry going there because it's of no use. Analyze your situation. So they said, we are not going there. And I'm telling you, if we will get anything by sitting here, we would have got it long time ago. It's of no use sitting here. We will die. But there's one option. The fact is, we can go to the enemy's camp. If they spare us, we are okay. But if we die, all die be die. Whether it's in the city, whether it's here or there, it's the same. But there is hope if we can go there. People of God, there are times we need to analyze our situation. And for you who do not know Jesus, maybe you do not know Jesus because somebody has told you that Jesus said he's going to prepare a place for you. If he was going to come, he would have come long time ago. Don't be deceived. Because Jesus on the cross said to that man, that murderer, today you will be with me in paradise. And he told the story of Lazarus and the rich man. That it's only Jesus who died and come up again. And so, in my language, they say that if there's a fish, a particular fish, I don't know the name in English, if it comes out to tell you that crocodile is dead, you can't argue. Because you haven't been there. He's telling you, Jesus is the one who died and came up. And he says, I am going to prepare a place for you. But somebody deceives you, know there's nothing. Anyway, as a Christian, if I believe that Jesus is going to prepare a place for me, and I give my life to him, he takes charge of me. Time will not allow me. I was very, very naughty because I lost my mom at a very age. I didn't understand. And I think it affected me psychologically. And at that time, there was no one to do any therapy or anything. So I became very naughty. I was a very angry person. I remember one guy, he had a farm, and he did something. I went and got a machete. I slashed the whole farm. I destroyed everything. It was taking me nowhere. I thank God that I got saved before I got into drugs because friends were taking me there. We could go into the shebeens and pick what people have smoked, the little ones. We put them and we started smoking. But God touched me. I can testify that he has changed my life for the better. I am here today because of what Christ did. I testify to that. So in this world, you cannot convince me that you are better off than me. Because in Jesus, I am great. I am okay. And so what I want you to know is that if someone tells you that being a Christian, there's a lot. There's a lot of good in it. And so if I die and I go and there's no heaven, even if there's no heaven, I haven't lost anything because I've benefited from here. And so for you who do not want to accept Jesus thinking that there's no heaven, you and I, we all draw 1-1. You don't gain, I don't gain. So But if we go and Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and heaven is there, where do you stand? Where do you stand? I win 2-1. You have lost. And that's what the lepers were thinking about. People, don't be deceived. Think Jesus is the only one, the only savior for the world. And he says, I'll go and prepare a place. I'm coming back. I am the only one. He says, no one can get to the Father but through me. So if you are here and you don't know Jesus, I want to suggest to you. He's calling you. Today he's calling you. Forget about the things around. Give your life to him. He will do good to you. Why stay here and die when you have opportunity to accept Jesus? Even the church, as we sit here, why do we stay here and die? Let me tell you, we always want him to look for revival. We want to see big things. We want to see, we look at other churches and they are growing and all that. The question I should ask myself is, have I gone to bring people in? Or I'm always enjoying? You know, as Christians, we are enjoying the goodness of God. Like this morning, oh, we can be here forever. Some of us, that's what we are looking for. We soak in the Lord the whole day. But we have to go out. Go and get people in. The good news must go. You know what? If we sit here, we are going to die. Because all the old people will die. All the young people will grow and die. And no one is coming in. The church, most churches have closed because they are enjoying sitting down. Why sit here and die? We need to go out. We need to go and take the gospel to those who need Jesus in their lives, and he will help us. My second point is that what do we do with the good news? As time is running out, what do we do with the good news? These people, the Bible says that they say to each other, we are not doing right. For this is a day of good news and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let us go at once. And that's my message for us. From today, I pray God that he will help me. That I go at once and tell the gospel to someone. Because this can you see a leprosy? It eats your fingers. Sometimes you don't have fingers. And here they go, first in food. They fill their tummy. They drink. Now they go along, they see gold. A leper, take gold and dig and put it there. And take silver. You see, they are over, I don't know how to put it, the English word. They are over enjoying. They've exceeded their bounds. Because now, what are you going to do with clothes? What are you going to do with silver? What are you going to do with gold? And some of us, we begin to hoard. We begin to enjoy the Lord so much so that we begin to hoard what is in us. The good things God has done in us, instead of letting them out, we're hoarding them. Thank you, my brother, for the testimony. You've let it out. Some of us, we've seen God do amazing things. Their testimonies, we're hoarding them. We're keeping them. We're hiding them like gold and silver. Instead of going to let people know what the Lord has done for you. There are so many times I've prayed with people. There was somebody at the university who came to our church, and I was talking to him. I could see this guy is in trouble. I prayed for him, and I realized that he has done something terrible, and the university was about to expel him. I said, my brother, we will cry to God. You will not be expelled. We prayed to God. He started coming to church frequently, and the Lord saved him from that situation, and he managed to do his course. He's now in Zimbabwe. He started a church. He wants to call it Grace Generation Church. Because God has done something. He's able to go and tell what the Lord has done. And people listen to him. People of God, the Lord has done so much for you. What are you doing? Don't keep it to yourself. So they ran. They first told. They told the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper couldn't contain. Because they convinced the goalkeeper. The gatekeeper, maybe they might have taken a bit of food. And said, look at my mouth. Look, it's there. Oh, come on everybody, come. There's food. That is good news. If you go out here now and tell people there's food, come. Everybody will come because it's good news. They want food. And after that, you say, you know how we got this food? The Lord bless us. God is good all the time. And they will say, hallelujah. All the time, God is good. We need to do something. And so they went and were able to share the good news. And the good news went. Even though the king was now trying to put, you know, sometimes we want to block what God wants to do, or we want to divert what God wants to do. And that's what he was trying to do. So they went, and the news came that everybody went out. Before I conclude, in my third point, I just want to suggest something. That the key for us to grow, the key for us to be able to present the good news at its taste, is to be able to entrust. The word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2 says, and what you have heard from me, from the ESV, says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In the NIV, he says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men and women who will qualify to teach others. So faithfulness and reliability. The good news, the third point, please. The good news is also brings it out. And he says, take the teachings that you have heard me proclaim in the presence of many witnesses and trust them to reliable people who will be able to teach others. So this gospel, if we want to go and spread the gospel and not die here, we need to entrust to reliable. And I'm going to give you quickly what I call the 2x2x2 principle. When I was, years ago, I was in the university. In those days, we used to do Bible studies. Every week, we would go and analyze the Bible, and ideas came that I took it with me. The 2x2x2 principle is that 2x2x2 means 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. That is the key of the gospel that the people of God used to turn the world upside down. They were growing in their numbers. And so Paul says to the church, and the things you have heard, whatever you have heard me say in the presence of witnesses, entrust, give it to other reliable people until they too will qualify and give others. I just want to give you just numbers wise. Can you go? First two. You see, if I and my wife, two people, come, we are two at the beginning. Let's say year. Each one of us, because it's a 2x2x2 principle. Listen to this. The whole year, just get two people. Only two people. Not three, not four, not just two people. I know you can do more. You can do 20, you can do 30. I'm not interested in that. Two. Tell them about the gospel. And when they accept the gospel, teach them. Disciple them. We call them discipleship. Tell them the things you know. Teach them until the end of the year when they can stand like you stand. At the end of the year, we will have six people. Please. Yeah. So because me, I will have two. The other person will have two. We are six. That is the end of year one. So if it is a church, my Benson and Beatrice want to start a church, and we only have six people in the year, people will say, hey, this pastor is lazy. Six people the whole year. All right, that's fine. Year two. And remember, it's multiple of three. That's the principle. It's multiple of three. If you are two times three, the next will be six. So the next one will be 18. Next year, so year two. Because there were six of us, everybody took two, we become 18, year two. Year three, we become 54. Year three. Then people will begin to say, hey, the church, yeah, they are doing something. It's happening. Year three. Go on. Year four, you have 162, year four, people in that church. Me and my wife, if we start and we commit, remember the principle here is make reliable people. If you fail one, you won't get the numbers. But if you get the reliable people, we are able to get. Year four. Now, I'm just giving you, if you are alone, year one is three, year two, nine, year three, 27. By 10 years, if you are only one person, getting two, train them to take two, everyone taking two. After 10 years, there will be 59,049 people in your church. Which church can do that? But it's in the Bible. It's a principle in the Bible. If there are two of you, it's multiplied by two, it becomes 118. What about if we're a cell group? That's my last point. Cell group, eight. Some of the cell groups have got 20, 15, and all that. It's just eight. If it is eight, year one, if everyone gets two, you become 24. at the end of year one. Your cell group will grow to 24. Year two, it will grow to 72. Year three, 216. By year 10, 472,000 people will be in that church. People of God, God has given us the principles. It's there in the Word. What are we doing about it? Let me conclude. The church needs faithful and reliable men and women. Can we be counted as faithful? It is required that those who have been given a trust must prove to be faithful. Are you a faithful? I pray God that I become faithful so that we turn Pietermaritzburg around. We turn KwaZulu-Natal around. We turn South Africa around. Africa, there are people say, is a mile wide. The Christianity is a mile long, but an inch deep, because there's no discipleship. And that's what we are about this year. We pray that the Lord will help us.